Blog Talk Radio.
If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I don't know where I would be. Fellowship, let's go.
My testimony is real.
Enough talking about grace. Your grace is sufficient for me. Father, we thank you right now for this time with you, Lord God. We thank you for this hour of power, God. We thank you, Father, for your calling, your giftings, and your anointing. Father, we just ask you right now in the name of Jesus that you will move by your Spirit. Father, we yield to your presence. We yield to the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, Father. We thank you, Lord God, that you will speak. And ears will be open because you're speaking, Lord God. And we just thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And we say yes and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For God is awesome. God is a healer. Amen. Amen. This is Prophetess Teresa Docks. And I'm excited again and delighted to be here with you. Thank you so much for tuning in. We thank you for calling in. We thank you that even if you're via internet, you're chiming in, God. I mean, you're chiming in to hear the word of God. Amen. Amen. We bring you greetings and love from Kingdom Builders International, where this radio broadcast has been sponsored by. We are Kingdom Builders Development Institute, where we're here to birth out the gifting that God has given you. Amen. Glory to God. We want to thank you for just being faithful to the things of God. Thank you for knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. Call somebody up and tell them that we're on the air. Tell them they can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/KBDI, where the Feast of the Lord is going on. They can chime in. They can call 646-668-2780, where you can just call in and pick up your phone and listen in. And then if you want to be notified whenever we have a broadcast, you can log in to www.blogtalkradio.com/KBDI, and you can click follow. And if you do that, every single time we have a show or broadcast, you'll get notified that we are on the air and we are live. Amen. Glory to God. And I can't leave this out. If you would like to work from home, we have a work from home portal where it's KBDI, work from home. If you are interested in training and becoming part of our team and you want to work from home, we want to encourage you to give us a call at area code 313-583-9739. Again, that's 313-583-9739. And you can work from home, make some extra money. Amen. God bless everyone. Again, I want to continue where we left off on last Wednesday, where we were talking about the difference between a prophet and prophecy. Amen. And if you're interested in learning more about that, you can go to our teaching. It's in archives on our website. Amen. Glory to God. We talked about the gift of prophecy, and then we talked about the office of a prophet. There's a difference between the office of a prophet and the gift of prophecy. Amen. But on this week, we're going to pick up where we left off, and we were talking about callings, giftings, and anointings. Amen. Because there is a difference. Amen. If you're interested in knowing who God called you to be, what you need to be doing, you're tired of just going here and there just to be there, God want to give you some direction. God want to give you a format to follow. You know how on that the Wizard of Oz, they say follow the yellow brick road, amen? Well, in the kingdom of God, if you follow the plans of God so you can get to that place of destiny, amen? Amen. God is good. But I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1. You know, knowledge is power. If you have knowledge, you're able to accomplish more things, because ignorance and not knowing what to do, when to do, how to do, can get you lost and tossed. Amen. But when you know how to make provisions and through knowledge and understanding, you can accomplish a lot of goals. Amen. We're talking about becoming more like Christ, because this calling and the giftings and the anointings, it can all work together for the good of them that love the Lord and the called according to his purpose. Amen. There's a purpose that God has for you. There's a destiny that God has for you. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, please have your Bibles open, because there's a blessing in flipping through the scriptures and studying the word rightly, as we rightly divide the word of God. And the Bible says, Paul called an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of, Paul was called an apostle by the will of God. See, our callings give identity. I bet you did not know that. It's important that we understand that we have identity in Christ. We're not our own. We belong to God. And God has given us our identity by our callings. But Paul, I just read it, called as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Listen, by the will of God. So our callings are not something that we do, but our callings is something that we are. Amen? Our identity actually lies in our callings. Amen? Our identity, make note of this, it actually lies in our calling. And we all have multiple callings. We are all called as saints of God. And as saints, we have the identity as holy believers. So when you are a saint and some people come around you and they know your identity in Christ and they respect who you are, it's certain things they won't say or they won't do because of what? Because of our identity, our calling. They respect the fact that you are a pastor, you're an apostle, you're a teacher, you're an evangelist, apostle, prophet. They respect that, so they won't do certain things in front of you. They won't say certain things in front of you. Why? Because they understand that we are called as saints of God. Amen. I'm trying to get this point across so that we all can understand that your identity, it means that you know who you are and whom you are, and then you also know where you're going. And then when you get there where you're going, you know that you are in the will of the Father. Amen. You're not just doing and going. You're walking in the will of the Father. So your identity, it actually lies in your calling. And then the second point I want to make, 1 Peter 4:10, amen, hallelujah. 1 Peter 4:10, glory to God. You know, we have to know that God has already structured everything regarding us, regarding our destiny, regarding our purpose. It's already mapped out. All we have to do is follow the principles of God to get where we need to go. Amen. Because there are assignments that is connected to you knowing your identity in Christ. Amen. 1 Peter 4:10. Our gifts give us our abilities. And the Bible says, as each one have received a special gift, employed in it serving, listen, serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I talked about this last week. Our gifts give us our abilities. Our abilities, they are not, it's not something that we are, but something we do. So if we try to get our identity from our gifts, then we will have a performance-based self-esteem. Amen? Sometimes you're looking for a performance from your pastor or from the prophet or from the teacher. You know, you're looking for a performance, and you expect them to perform to entertain you so that you can say, oh, he really did preach. But what makes it effective is life-changing experience, that we change, that we get better, amen, that we are different from what we used to be because we have said it, we've been under the word of God, and it's the word of God that will chasten you. It's the word of God that will purify you. It's the word of God that will develop you, and it's the word of God that will cause you to be more like Christ, because guess what? He is a consuming fire. And when you sit up under the word, things start burning off of you. Amen. Things start burning off of you. You're not the same. You're not the same. If we try to get our identity from our gifts, then, like I said, we'll be performing. And then when you perform, it's, oh, he really did preach or she really did preach. What are we doing? We're building up that person's self-esteem, but we're not changing. So when we minister through the gift of prophecy, the Holy Spirit is using his gift through us. So we have to allow God to use us even when we're incapable of being used. But we have to be willing to be used because it's not about us. It's about our obedience. Say, Lord, use me because I'm a wretched person and I'm not capable, or I'm not, I don't have the gifting without God. But in Him, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because now what? I'm a new person. All things have passed away and all things have become new because Christ is in the picture. And when He's in the picture, He takes over. I'm just willing to let Him use me to be a vessel. We have to really get the picture. Sometimes we say, oh, I can't do that. Oh, no, I'm still in my sin. But I'll tell you, if you take a step forward and you say, Lord, use me, He'll begin to chase that unrighteousness away, and you'll begin to say, I am the righteousness of Christ. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because we understand that it's all about Him and it's all about the kingdom. So our anointing give us our purpose. Amen. I want you to get it. I pray that you get it. Isaiah 61:1. And the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to who? To the afflicted. He has sent me bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captivity and freedom to prisoners. So what is that? It's my assignment. He has sent me. He has anointed me. Amen. And He has proclaimed liberty to the captives and freedom to prisoners. So here we go. Whenever the anointing of the Holy Spirit is upon us, our lives suddenly take on purpose. We are inspired to accomplish some things from God. You get hungry, you know, you get thirsty for more knowledge and understanding about the things of God. So we begin to put our flesh under subjection, and we allow our spirit to rule. Because we understand that when this flesh has gone and everything is passed on, and we either go into glory or we're going to go to glory and get judged, and then He's going to say, okay, you can stay or you got to go, whichever one is our destiny based on our actions now, what we do now. So we're building our kingdom in heaven by our deeds today. But our anointing give us purpose. Because if you are in school to get a PhD, because your purpose is to get the PhD, then what? You get hungry to learn and to do what it takes to accomplish your goals. And your goals become a purpose. Your purpose is to finish school and to get your PhD. So whenever the anointing of the Holy Spirit is upon us, our lives suddenly take on purpose. Gifts and callings, amen, of God are what? Irrevocable. God does not change His mind about us. Okay? If He chose you, He's not going to say, okay, that's all right, I don't want you. He's not going to revoke His plans for us. But the anointing of the Lord will flow according to the relationship we have with the Holy Spirit. We have to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit that will live in us. He said, I'll dwell with you. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. Amen. So we have to understand that we are required to do some things to get some things. Amen. Amen. We just praise God for that, because anytime you want a better relationship with someone, what do? You spend more time with them. Try to understand them better. Amen. You want to bless them. You want to become a more understanding of them. And the Holy Spirit is the same way. Amen. And then I'm going to read Romans 11:29. You know, the Bible says the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. He's not going to change his mind. It's in the scripture. You know, sometimes you may feel like, oh, I'm worthless, or no, I don't know what I should be doing. Sometimes you might feel like you're going through the motion. But I'll tell you one thing. If you dive deep in the word and you fast, some things are by fasting and praying. If you fast and pray, then you realize that when I fast, I put my flesh under subjection. So fasting will make me be more spiritual. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because now I'm leaning more to my spirit and I'm causing my flesh to die. Amen, amen. Now we're going to talk about there are three dimensions of a prophet. I went over that last week, the gift of Christ, the calling of as a prophet, and the office of a prophet. And then we talked about the three different mantles and the anointing. Remember, I said the anointing stays with a prophet, but the mantle remains with the mission. So sometimes people are anointed as a prophet, but they have yet to receive the mantle, which is what? The office. And I'll give you an example in 1 Samuel 16 and 11. 1 Samuel 16 and 11. And Samuel said to Jesse, are these all the children? And he said, there remain yet the youngest. And behold, he is tending to the sheep. Then Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him. For we will not sit down until he comes here. So he sent and brought him in. And now he was ruddy, with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. This is in the word now. And the Lord said, arise, anointed, and anointed him. For this is he. See, sometimes we may not look and may not match up with our calling. So you can't look for the outward appearance. So he anointed him. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from the day forward, from that day forward. And Samuel rose and went to Ramah. Listen, it was 14 years later that Judah anointed David as king. So what does that mean? Even though he had been anointed with the oil, it wasn't until 14 years later that he was anointed as king. So it's a process. And what we must do is follow the process. Amen. The power is in the process. We're not going to reach our destiny or achieve our goals overnight, but it's in the process. They were healed as they went. They were healed, those lepers. When Jesus healed them, what happened? He said, now be made whole. It wasn't like instantly, but the Bible says as they went, they were healed. So as you're found doing, you will become. So it took 14 years for David to be anointed as king. 2 Samuel, hallelujah, 2 and 4, 2 Samuel 2 and 4. So what I'm trying to say to you, it doesn't happen overnight, just like that habit you got, or the deeds that you did, or the building that you built, or the job that you built, or the business that you built. It didn't happen overnight. You had to spend time. You had to work your plan. You had to plan it out, and then you had to connect the dots and follow the plan. Amen? So anything that you want, if you plan for it, the Bible says, write it down, make it plain. Those that read it can run with it. The vision. Say if you're building a house or you're building a building, it's a format. It's a map. It's a diagram. It's things that have to be done in order for the poles to be set, for the electrician to let the wiring to be in place. And then the wiring is all dead until what? The power source comes. And then before you know it, the house is built. That's the same thing about our giftings and our callings and our anointing. It has to be developed. But we have to be willing. And if we're willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the land. God is making, he's sending a word to his people in this season. And only those that are going to hear are the ones that are have an ear that's open. Their ear is not dead. You know, I speak to every dead thing right now in the name of Jesus. And I command you to live. I command those dry bones to rise up. In Jesus' name, amen. So like I said, it was 14 years later that Judah was anointed. He anointed King David. And the men of Judah came and there anointed King David over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, it was the men of Gilead who buried Saul. So what does that mean? The same men that buried Saul was the same men that came and anointed David. When God bring one down, he'll raise up another. Amen. It's the hand of the Lord. And then it was years later that Israel anointed King David. And that's in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 3. You know, we got to study the word so that we can proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Samuel 5 and 3. And the Bible says, so all the elders of the land came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them before the Lord at Hebron, and they anointed King David over Israel. What's happening here? He's moving on up the king's highway. He's being anointed to do what God has called him to do. And a mantle is being placed over him. Amen. Now, we're still talking about prophets. We're still teaching about prophets. Prophets have tri-vision. Tri, meaning what? Three, and vision. So these are things that God will give you if you walk in the office of a prophet. And I'm going to tell you what the tri-visions are. He'll give you insight. He'll give you foresight. Hallelujah. And he'll give you oversight. So we're talking about insight, foresight, and oversight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Insight is the ability to understand the root issues in a situation. People, motivations, and God's inspiration. I'm going to say that again. When you have insight, it's the ability to understand issues in a situation. People's motivation and God's inspiration. So you have insight in a situation where it may appear that this is the problem, but God will give you insight and you'll see the person's motive. And it's inspired by God. Amen. So he'll give you that insight into a situation. That's one of the giftings and anointings that prophets have on their life. And then I talked about foresight. Foresight, and I hope you're taking notes, is the ability to predict the future. Listen, when you can see something before it happens, it's predestined and God show it to you, that's foresight. And then oversight. oversight is the ability to understand prophetic context. Amen. The ecosystem, the service roles or perspectives. So you have oversight where you can understand prophetic contents. Someone will say something and it may not even sound like it's connected. It may not even what you hear in your ear gate. You got total understanding, and you are your perspective on that situation is clear to you. So that's oversight. Prophets are servants of God. Amen. We're still talking about the office of a prophet. And we talked about the gift of prophecy. But I want you to understand that when God established the fivefold, Bible says in Ephesians that they are to perfect the saints. Are we perfected? He said in the Bible that it's to bring the people into the unity of the faith. Are we unified? God doesn't do anything half done, and he doesn't quit when he starts something. He's going to bring everything to completion where he'll be able to say, well done, it's finished. That's how God rolls. He rolled like that. Amen. He wants us to be an example of him, example of how he does things. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the holy name of Jesus. Praise his name, because he will not change his mind and he will not change the word of God. Just know when God says something, you can count on it. You can expect it. I don't care what it looked like. It doesn't matter what it seemed like. God does not change, nor does he lie. And he's not a man that he would lie. Amen. And even a man that he would have to even repent. Listen, isn't that awesome? God doesn't even have to repent. But he gave us the opportunity to repent. What is repentance? To turn from our wicked ways, to turn. The day is nigh where we have that opportunity today, but we may not have it tomorrow. It looks like we got a new normal going on in the world today. Amen. And I'm grateful that we can still go forth with the teaching of the gospel, because God wants his people to change. God wants our attention. God wants to put us in a place where our calling and our election is made sure, and we're not wishy-washy. We're not lukewarm, because we're steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. God wants to heal the land. He wants to heal the land. Amen. But he said he needs to hear. In order for us to hear from heaven, God said he wants us to what? Turn, seek his face. He said, and then he gave us responsibilities, and we have to complete those things. Prophets are servants of God. Amen. Amos 3 and 7, the Bible says, surely, surely, what does that mean? Truly, he's not going to change on that one. Surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveal his secret counsel to his servant, the prophet. So that means God is still revealing things. God is still using men and women. He's working. He want to work through us. Amen. So he can get some things to us. And God tell the prophet, guess what? He tell the prophet his secret. That's the Bible. The Bible says the prophets are God's anointed one. Amen. In 1 Chronicles 16 and 22, it talks about that. The Bible says, do not touch my anointed one and do my prophet no harm. So that means my. He said, my anointed one, my prophet. So we have to be careful what we say and what we do. when it comes to prophets or the people of God. Amen. You have to respect the offices because you're dealing with someone that belongs to God. The Bible doesn't change. We're wondering why we can't accomplish some goals because maybe we're mishandling some things that belong to God. God has a high value on his prophets because God, the prophets are his mouthpiece. And then God tells the secrets to his prophets. He entrusting the prophets with his secrets. Amen. In Genesis 20:7, hallelujah. I want you to get your Bibles and turn to Genesis 20:7. Amen. We're going to take just a short music break, not for long. But I want you, don't hang up, stay with me. But when we come back, we're going to talk about the prophet or the prophetess. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Stay with me.
You are born with a grace.
The gift that looks good on you.
That grace is your gift.
The gift that looks good on you.
It's a divine enablement.
The gift that looks good on you.
If you work your grace, the grace will work for you. Company, teach the lesson.
The systems of the world will try to take your confidence.
Yes, they will.
For these systems were designed.
Designed.
To make you doubt what heaven says.
Don't you doubt.
The systems of the world.
The systems
will try to take your confidence.
Yes, they will.
For these systems.
You left.
But the gift God gave to you,
gift,
give it back to him.
Offer it up.
When he sees it operating,
yes,
it's a compliment to him.
Give him glory.
But the gift God gave to you,
this gift,
give it back to him.
Offer it up.
But the gift, it will make room,
uh-huh,
position for waiting in the kingdom. The gift, it looks good on you.
Your gift,
it looks good on you.
Looking good.
The gift, it looks good on you.
I say your gift.
It looks good.
Yeah.
The gift, it looks good on you.
Work your grace.
It looks good on you.
My gift works for me.
The gift, it looks good.
Yeah.
And you wear it
and
well.
And you're wearing your gift well.
God has
graced you.
And you wear it.
All right,
it well.
Help me out. You wear it.
You wear it well. You wear it well.
God has graced
God
you.
God has graced you. And you wear it well.
Everybody in right here, come on. Works for you.
It looks good.
Tell somebody, just be you.
The gift, it looks good on you.
Uh-huh.
It looks good on you.
Can't be a better
the
you
gift,
than you.
Looks good.
And you wear.
And you wear it well.
God has graced you.
God has graced you.
Yeah.
And
come
you
on, let's
wear
take it up.
Well.
Yeah.
Amen. Glory to God. That gift, it looks good on you. And you wear it well. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for staying with me. We're going to get ready to wrap our session up for today, but I want to make a few more points so that you are able to make your calling and election sure. Only guidelines, only map we have to go by is the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Genesis 20:7, and the Bible says, now therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, and you and all who are yours. Listen, God has a high value on his prophets. Amen. He said, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. So if a prophet pray for you, the Bible is saying you will live. But if you are not, if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die. Not only you, he said you and all of yours. Trying to make a point here. We're not our own. We belong to God. And then, can anyone be a prophet or a prophetess? I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures to make to give you an understanding. In Jeremiah is called what? To be a prophet in his mother's womb. That's Jeremiah 1 and 4. Jeremiah 1 and 4. And the Bible says, now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you as a prophet to the nation. So that means that was an appointment from his mother's womb. He came on a mission. And he was appointed as a prophet to the nation. We're not our own. So the office of a prophet is a life calling. You know, many prophets are called at birth and when they are born again. The office of a prophet is not something you ask for, but it is the Lord's choosing. So we can't just choose to be a prophet or a prophetess. You know, if you're called to be a prophet, you have the responsibility to develop your gift. And it was once said by a man, Graham Cook. He was saying, it takes a minimum of 14 years for a person to develop into a prophet after they're called. So anything that we do, we learn about how to do it. You go through experience so that you can become perfected in it. So both men and women can be called to this office, and I'm gonna give you a scripture. Acts 21 and 8. Acts 21 and 8. Both men and women, anyone, because in the spiritual realm, there's neither male nor female. Amen? Neither male nor female. But Acts 21 and 8 says, on the next day, we left and came to Syria and entered the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the seven, who we stayed with him. In verse 9, now this man had four virgin daughters who were prophetess. So Philip's daughters, all four of them, they were prophetess. Amen. God has no respecter of person. Don't get twisted. Were you saying, well, a woman shouldn't preach, a woman shouldn't be a pastor, a woman shouldn't be a prophet? God, there's neither male nor female. God used whoever he wanted to use. He'll use a donkey to speak because he's going to make it happen. He's a mover and he's a shaker. He caused our tradition to have no effect. Amen. So sometimes we were taught things that wasn't kingdom things, and it's harder to get those traditional teachings out of your spirit when revelatory truth is revealed to us. But we have to keep our ears open, and then we make ourselves available. Lord, show me the truth. Reveal to me your truth, Father. And then whatever he say do, just do it. Amen. So the responsibility and the authority of a prophet is given by God. Amen. It's given by God. Hallelujah. We don't choose our own destiny. We may think we can, but the bottom line is God is in charge. He's bigger. He's greater. He's just much more than we ever could be. Amen. Amen. I'm going to give you this last scripture, hallelujah, I believe it's the last one. The primary responsibility of a prophet is to equip the saints. Amen. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 11. And I'm going to read down to verse 16. Amen. Amen. I want you to notice some things. And the Bible says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. Why? Why did he do this? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Why? Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Why? To mature, to a mature man, to the measure of the statute which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children. It's time to grow up. Tossed here and there by waves and carried away by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness in deceitful schemes. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head. Amen. Who's the head? He's the head. Who's the master? He's the master, the head, even Christ. And verse 16 says, from whom the whole body, being fitly fitted and held together by which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causing the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. God got this already worked out. It's already worked out. We choose our own destiny. Instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct us, you want to be fulfilled? You're talking about being fulfilled in this life? Follow Christ at all costs. You know, notice that the office of a prophet is given until the church is a matured man in Christ. Is the church matured? Are you matured? The prophet is still here. The prophet's primary responsibility, what? I just read it to you, is to equip the saints with the eyes to see and the ears to hear. So the result of the fivefold ministry is that there is stability in the church. Is there stability in the church? No. And the body of Christ works in harmony so that we can harmonize together. If you say hallelujah, then I'll say hallelujah. If you say thank you, I'll say Jesus. Working together in the unity of the faith. So the prophets restores families. It's in Malachi. Malachi 4 and 5 talks about it. Behold, I am going to send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and the terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the heart of the father to their children and the heart of the children to their father. Why? So that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. It's a purpose of the fivefold. And some of you that's listening to me, you're part of the fivefold, but you're not willing to say, Lord, use me. You're not willing to say, Lord, whatever my calling is, whatever my gifting is, whatever my anointing is, I give it back to the people so that they can become. See, we're busy being afraid. We're busy being skeptics. We're busy being something else that we're not. God said, I want to use you the way I chose to use you. If I sent you, if you're sent one, you're sent on a mission. If you're called one, you're called to go and do my assignment. Amen. If you're anointed for a certain thing, the anointing is what? To destroy the yoke. God got us together. It's all put together. We don't have to establish anything. We just have to be available. God wants some of these curses, these generational curses to be broken off of families. You know, you got families where everybody in the family is walking in the same type of curse. God want to break that thing, and he want to use you and I to do it. You're not afraid that you will walk up in a place and you'll declare some things, you'll decree some things, because you understand that the expected end is already set for you. You're not afraid because God got you. You know, coronavirus is in effect because of corrupt men and women, because we allow it to happen. God said, I need you to stand up. I need you to arise. I need you to be part of the kingdom. Amen. I need you to become more like me. I want to use you, says the Lord. I want my work to be done here on earth. Thou, hallelujah, thou kingdom come. It only comes when you open up your mouth, when you're willing to open up your mouth and say, use me, Lord. And guess what? That's going to put you out of your comfort zone. You're not going to be able to be the way you used to be. You're not going to be able to remain how you were. Amen. You're the least person that was expected to be walking in that office. You're the least person that they expected to be able to break off some yoke. You're the least person that they expected to say, depend on God. You're the last person. They didn't expect it to be you. Why? Because it's not you. It's the God that's in you. He said, if you're willing and obedient, that you'll eat the good of the land. Amen. I want to finish these last two, so next week we'll pick up on the apostle. Amen. Amen. You know, the prophet restores family. I just told you that. The prophets encourage the apostles in the building of the kingdom. Ezra 5:1, when the prophet Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, hallelujah, the son of Iddo, prophesied to the Jews, glory to God, who was in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of God of Israel, who was over there, when Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and the son of Jozadak arose and began to what? To rebuild the house of God, which was in Jerusalem. And the prophets of God were with them, supporting them. So the prophet supports the apostle. Amen. The elders of the Jews were successful in building through the prophecy of Haggai and the prophet. So everybody have an assignment. Everybody have a job to do. When we work together, it's teamwork that makes the dream work. It's so important that we work together. But everybody have an assignment. Prophets set leaders in their place. That's the job of the prophet. And release an anointing over them so that they may have the grace to lead. Prophets support, and they raise up leaders and push them forward. And then I'm going to give you this last scripture for sure, and we're done, okay? And I just thank you that you're eating this word. In 1 Samuel 15:1, hallelujah. 1 Samuel 15:1 says, glory to God. Then Samuel said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you as king over his people, over Israel. Listen, now therefore, listen to the words of the Lord. So Samuel was sent to anoint Saul as king. And Samuel was a prophet. The prophet directs history for a prophetic declaration. Oh man, it's good to me. It's good to me. You know, I love that God had already orchestrated and fulfilled everyone's assignment. might have different gifts on you, and it look good on you. But know your place and walk in it. You know, and it's real deep. It's really good, and I simply love it. And I'm going to close with what our mission is. I don't care what office you walk in, but it's all of our mission. The Bible says in John 21 and 15, feed my lambs, feed my people. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? Shall tribulation, shall distress, persecution, phantom, COVID, nakedness, perilous time, sword? For the Bible says, for it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. None, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Are you persuaded? That neither death nor life, neither angels or principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able, hallelujah, to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Feed my sheep. Stay steadfast. Be unmovable. Always, hallelujah, always abounding, in the work of the Lord. When you get up, say, Lord, what would you have me to do today? But I say unto you, love your enemy, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despise you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. God has it together. Glory to God. I pray that you are blessed. I pray in the name of Jesus that your life is made better because of the word of God. I pray that your love suffers long, that your love is kind, and that your love does not envy. Your love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rude. It does not seek its own. And it's not provoked. Think no evil. Rejoice in no iniquity. Rejoice in truth. Bear all things. Believe all things and hope all things. Endure all things. And then God is with you. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. I tell you, I bless your world today. Elder and I, we send blessings to your household. We send the blood of Jesus to your doorpost, that every step that you take is blessed. Every word that you speak, it will come to pass. So be careful what you say. Be careful how you carry yourself. Be careful how you present yourself as a saint, as a believer. Then others will say, no, that's the ain't, not a saint. Amen, amen, amen. If you like what we're doing, I want to encourage you to sow into the ministry of the kingdom of God at Kingdom Builders Development Institute, where we are blessed to be a blessing, where we birth out ministers of the gospel. That's our assignment, that we birth out others' giftings and others' their callings and their anointings. That we thank God that we are seers and we're able to see some things that God is doing. We humbly praise God for that. But if you like what we're doing, support the ministry. You can go to giveafi.com. You can download the app to your cell phone and just look for Kingdom Builders, Kingdom Daughters, and you can sow. You can sow into the different programs that we have that's going on right now. That's G-I-V-E LIFY, Giveify, and you can sow into what God is doing with us through Giveify. You can also use your PayPal. You can go to Kingdom, it's Kingdom Builders Plaza at Gmail, and you can sow that way. Or you can give us a call at area code 313-583-9739, and your seed will manifest. It will be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. And in closing, I decree and declare that your day is blessed. I decree and declare that you'll hear God's voice. I decree and declare that your words will manifest. And I decree and declare that God's going to speak and cover you and your family into the day of redemption. Amen. Amen. And if you don't know Christ and the pardon of your sin, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you believe that he died on the cross, but he didn't stay dead. Old death had no power over him. He rose again, and he's alive today in you and I. If you believe that, and you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. And the angels are rejoicing because you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior on this day. Amen. Amen. And in closing, I just want to say, let your day be less of me and more of you. Just tell God, let my day be less of me and more of you. Amen. We have taught prophetic anointing based on biblical principles today. Amen. God bless you. This is Prophetess Pastor Teresa Dox. I'm excited about you, and I'm excited about your destiny. I want to thank you once again. You can go to the archives and you can listen again to the teaching. In closing, www.blogtalkradio.com/KBDI. Amen. In closing, God bless you. Have a supernatural day today. And let the joy of the Lord be your strength. God bless everyone. And just know that God is with you. Why? Because that gift, it looks good on you. God bless you. Have a blessed evening.
The gift, it looks good on you.
You are born with a grace.
The gift, it looks good on you.
That grace is your gift.
The gift, it looks good on you.
It's a divine enablement. If you work your grace, the grace will work for you. Company, teach the lesson.
The systems of the world
systems
will try to take your confidence.
Yes, they will.
For these systems were designed to make you doubt what heaven says.
Don't you doubt.
The systems of the world
these systems
will try to take your confidence.
Yes, they will.
For these systems were
designed
to make you sit down on your heels.
Don't you let.
But the gift God gave to you,
this gift,
give it back to him.
Offer it up. Offer it up.
For the gift, it will make room.
Uh-huh.
Position for waiting in the kingdom. The gift, it looks good on you.
Your gift,
it looks good on you.
Looking good.
The gift, it looks good on you.
I say your gift,
it looks good.
Yeah.
The gift, it looks good on you.
Work your grace.
It looks good on you.
My gift works for me.
The gift, it looks good.
Yeah.
And you wear.